Welcome to Sfated Tales. Tonight, as the shadows lengthen and the moon rises, we will be exploring the mysterious and most often misunderstood creatures of the night, bats. They have been long feared and tied to the tales of horror, but these fascinating animals are the true guardians of the night, playing a crucial role in our ecosystem. So grab your flashlights and let's dive into the shadows to uncover the fading tale of bats. When most people think of Halloween, they picture bats fluttering against the full moon, perhaps darting out of the haunted houses or lurking in dark caves. For centuries, bats have been associated with vampires, witches, and all the eerie things you find in Halloween. But together, I want to show you that these nocturnal creatures are far more than just spooky decorations. They are vital to the survival of countless ecosystems across the globe. Bats are astonishing, adaptable creatures inhabiting a range of environments that span from the lush depths of the tropical rainforests to the arid stretches of the deserts. In rainforests, for example, bats play a key role in pollination and seed dispersal, supporting the vibrant plant life. Some species, like tube-nosed fruit bat, are perfectly suited for forest life, while leaf-like projections on their noses that enhance their sense of smell, aiding them in locating the sweet fruits. Meanwhile, in the deserts, certain bats have developed unique strategies to cope with the dry, unforgiving landscape. These bats often roost in rocky crevices or caves, where the cooler temperatures provide relief from the intense heat. In these arid regions, they act as natural pest controllers, consuming insects that emerge at night. Their ability to hunt in such sparse environments is a testament to their incredible adaptability. Bats are generally divided into two main groups, microbats and megabats. Kind of like a little pun. Microbats, smaller and often insectivores, rely on echolocation to navigate and hunt. Their pitched calls, often beyond human hearing, bounce off objects to create a so-called map of their surroundings, allowing them to catch tiny insects midair with remarkable precision. These bats are typically found in areas with a plentiful insect population, such as temperate forests, or areas with water bodies that attract insects. In contrast, megabats, also known as fruit bats or flying foxes, are often larger and rely on their keen sense of sight and smell rather than echolocation. They feast primarily on food like fruits, nectar, and pollen, making them vital pollinators for many plants. Some megabats, such as those found in Southeast Asia and Australia, play essential roles in maintaining the balance of tropical ecosystems by spreading seeds across vast areas. As diverse and specialized as they are, bats face many challenges, from habitat destruction to diseases like white-nose syndrome, which has decimated the populations in North America. Efforts to convert these incredible creatures are crucial, not only for survival, but also for the health of our ecosystem. So while they may be a symbol for Halloween spookiness, bats are actually the guardians of the night, working tirelessly to maintain the balance of nature. There are over 14,000 species of bats, ranging from the tiny bumblebee bat weighing less than a penny, to the impressive flying foxes with wingspans that can reach up to 6 feet. Yet despite their incredible diversity, bats have faced a growing number of threats that are pushing many species towards the edge of extinction. In fact, 1/3 of all bat species are considered endangered or at risk, with habitat destruction, climate change, and the spread of deadly diseases like white-nose syndrome taking a heavy toll on their populations. As I've mentioned in the previous, bats play a pivotal role in our ecosystem, often unrecognized for their contributions. One of the most crucial roles of bats play in the ecosystem is pest control, particularly insect eating. Bats are known as microbats, as I've said before. These are bats that are major insect predators and can consume nearly their entire body weight in insects each night. A seemingly minor act that has far-reaching ecological and economical impacts. They devour countless species of insects, including mosquitoes, moths, beetles, and other pests that pose risks to both human life and agricultural health. Consider the Mexican free-tailed bat, one of the most famous examples of bat species contributing to agriculture. Migrating to the northern United States during the summer months, millions of Mexican free-tailed bats established large colonies, such as the one at Bracken Cave in Texas, which is home to the largest bat colony in the world. Together, these bats consume up to 1,000 tons of insects each night, with a noticeable focus on crop-destroying pests like corn earworms and cotton bollworms. These pests, if left unchecked, would wreak havoc on U.S. agriculture, costing farmers billions of dollars. Instead, thanks to the bats, many of these pests are controlled naturally, significantly reducing the needs of the chemical pesticides. This biological pest control saves farmers actually an estimated of $23 billion annually in the United States alone. Such savings impact the economy broadly, keeping food prices more affordable and reducing the financial burden on farmers who otherwise rely on chemical solutions. There are many more things that bats actually do beyond agriculture. For one, bats also play a role on protecting human health by curbing the population of insects that can transmit diseases. By controlling mosquito populations, bats reduce the spread of diseases such as malaria, dengue fever, and the West Nile virus, which can be devastating, which can have devastating effects on the community, particularly in tropical and subtropical regions. While bats alone cannot entirely control these diseases, their combined efforts with other insectivores, such as birds and certain frogs, make noticeable differences in the spread of the vector-borne illnesses. This is especially critical in areas where health resources are limited and natural pest controls provide a significant health advantage. Microbats are like the biggest like protectors of the ecosystem through the insect population. Megabats also contribute through pollination and seed dispersal. Often found in tropical and subtropical regions, these bats are feed on food and nectar, transporting seeds over vast distances. And at night, when they search for food, they actively disperse the food like through like so many like forests, and like it's so vital for the forest regeneration. It's like so much vital, and like it's particularly vital in like in areas that are impacted by deforestation. So like imagine like the forest of the Southeast Asia where fruit bats and like such as flying foxes are among the primary seed dispersers. These bats consume a variety of fruits and, while foraging, disperse seeds throughout the forest through their droppings. Or, well, you know. This mode of seed dispersal allows the reforestation of diverse plant species across wide-ranging habitats. From the lush jungles of the Borneo to the rainforests of the Philippines, because of bats, when they fly like significant distances each night, they spread the seeds much further and then ground-dwelling animals, making them like essential to ensuring forest biodiversity and assisting the natural recovery of deforested areas. So we know they're pollinators, like they're actual pollinators, not just with their droppings. Like bats, like are pollinators. We often think of pollinators like bees, as I've talked about in my very first episode, which was only 12 minutes long. I apologize for that. And butterflies as pollinators. We think of those, but bats are also pollinators. They're just as essential, particularly for night blooming plants that rely on nocturnal pollinators. Nectar feeding bats, like the lesser or long-nosed bat, pollinate a wide range of plants, including species of agave and cacti that bloom at night. Without bats, these plants would struggle to reproduce, threatening entire ecosystems that depend on them. One noticeable example is the tequila industry, which is surprising to me. The agave plant, which is used to produce tequila, I am sorry if I pronounced this word wrong, I'm so sorry, depending on bats, but they that plant produces tequila depends on bats for pollination. When bats visit these plants to drink nectar, they transfer the pollen from plant to plant, facilitating the reproduction. While many of the crops are now like artificially propagated, wild agave populations still heavily rely on bat populations. Bats have held a place in human culture for centuries. I want to talk about more about like folklore instead of like we've talked about like what the bats do. And what are they? We talked about how important the bats are and what are they? So I want to talk a little bit about what they are to us, sort of. Sorry if I, like, this sounds weird. I'm just, like, trying to get into my thoughts and stuff. I want to talk about the culture and folklore that come with it. Bats are often considered embodying mystery, magic, and fear in various legends and stories around the world. But not all stories paint them as sinister. So let's take a journey to see the different cultures and how they see as bats. For one, so in Mesoamerican cultures, particularly in the Aztec mythology, bats are actually viewed positively. They symbolize fertility and transformation, reflecting the dual nature of life and death, a theme that is prevalent in many indigenous mythologies. The Aztecs associated bats with the god Tezcatlipoca, I hope I pronounced that right, I'm so sorry I didn't, who was connected to the night, chaos, and the earth cycles. As creatures of the night, bats embody the mystery of the dark, but they also represent rebirth, similar to how the flowers bloom in spring after the harshness of winter. In Aztec culture, it was believed that bats could traverse the boundaries between the living and the dead, further enriching their symbolic significance. This connection emphasizes the adaptability and resilience of bats, qualities that resonate deeply with the themes of transformation and renewal found in Aztec storytelling. Now, I have more than just that, but as I looked into like what I've written down based on my research and a connection asking a friend about it, I don't want to trust myself with saying these things in case I got really bad sources. So another one is like apparently in West Africa. I hope I'm not like I hope this is not like wrong. Like, cause like I'm more knowledgeable. Like, okay, so I'm the person who like loves animals, always learned about them and all that. I never looked at the cultural aspects of these things. So forgive me, please, if any of this information of cultures is wrong. So apparently in West Africa, they are often taken on roles as tricksters or wise protectors. Like, they are seen as like guardians of the night, embodying both mystery and wisdom like the others, the topics I've said. Apparently there's a story from my research, like I have these like notes, and like I wrote these notes like a week in advance, and like I have no idea what I am doing and what I am saying. So, forgive me. So, apparently, yeah, there's, like, this some trickster character in tales common with, like, for throughout religion. Like, bats just demonstrate cleverness and outsmarting larger animals, teaching valuable lessons and all that. And apparently, they're also associated with the spirit world, acting as mediators between living and deceased. deceased. Sorry, not diseased. I'm so weird. This is like my first pod, like first time actually doing a proper podcast. So yeah, forgive me. Their ability to navigate the night serves as like a metaphor, apparently, for navigating life's challenges and all that. So yeah, I really hope that wasn't wrong. So forgive me on that. Again, I have another one. Oh boy, I do not. After like the first one that I thought was right is wrong, I do not trust myself with any of these except the Aztec one. Apparently, in my notes that I researched about like indigenous cultures, that they often hold bats in high regard. And like there's in myths, they're often associated with rebirth, transformation, adaptability. I'm not gonna go on this because I know our campus and I don't want to like offend anyone, like if my information is wrong. Like I have like a whole like list here, like a whole script here written on my side. I have a whole script here and I don't want to like say information that's wrong and like offend anyone, so I'm gonna keep that off. But yeah, as you can see, there's a lot of like positive representation of bats in across cultures. They're also portrayed as like ominous creatures, like obviously from us, like we perceive them, and we also like association with darkness and unknowns, and has led to fears around vampires, witchcrafts, often painting them as symbols of evil or danger. And this duality with bats kind of like reflects humanity's complex relationship with nature, where fear and reverence often coexist. So like, as I say, Western culture, like the image of bats in vampire lore has like premeditated Western culture. Permeated. What is wrong with me? Permeated Western culture, shaping the way we perceive these cultures. This association with bats with Dracula and all of their horror tales has combined the misconception that all bats are dangerous or sinister. However, these stories are often overlooked the ecological importance and the fascinating biological traits of the bat. Now that we've gone into went into the culture of it, I kind of want to go into like the myths that bats have been associated with. So for one, there's common misconceptions about them. Like for once, bats are bloodsuckers, blah blah blah, like with all the vampires and stuff. Actually, it's like in reality, only three species are known as vampire bats, are known to feed off the blood of other animals. These species, which actually primarily inhabit Central or South America, do so by making just small incisions in the skin of their prey, typically like livestock. When this behavior can seem gruesome, it's important to note that vampire bats only make up a tiny fraction of the world's over 1,400 bats. Did I say 1,400 before? I'm sorry, I meant 1,400 bat species. What is wrong with me today? I'm sorry. The vast majority of the bats are insectivores. Like, they're not blood-sucking animals, so don't worry about that. They only consume, like, the only thing that you need to know that they consume that's good is mosquitoes. Like, come on. Mosquitoes are literally buggers. Like, come on. Did you know, like, a single little brown bat, like the small one, that's not the big one, the small one can eat over 1,000 mosquitoes in just 1 hour. Like, this highlights like the crucial role of bats playing like as pest control. Like, they're they help us, like they contribute to us giving a healthier environment and not use the chemical pesticides. Apparently, another myth that is there is like bats are blind. Like, they say blind as a bat. Like, you know that saying, blind as a bat? Like, it suggests that, like, these creatures navigate solely by touch. In truth, bats actually have functioning eyes and can see very well, especially in low light. Many species rely on echolocation, a sophisticated system, emitting sound waves and interpreting the echoes, all that, blah, blah, blah. This ability enables bats to fly with remarkable precision and agility to compete darkness, but it does not mean that they can't see. And the third one is bats are disease ridden. Most people fear bats due to the misconception that they're inherently disease ridden. While it's true that bats can carry diseases such as rabies or the COVID-19 pandemic that we've been associating with them, the actual incidence of these diseases among bats population is relatively low. For the time when they actually, whatever. In fact, the CDC estimates that less than 1% of bats are infected with rabies. Most bats avoid contact with humans anyway. And the likelihood of actually contracting a disease is very low. But that actually happened with COVID and everything. Apparently, I don't know if that whole thing is real, but whatever. This misconception can be fear driven and. It's a resulting and unnecessary culling of bat populations, which ultimately disrupt our ecosystems, navigating impacts and environments and all such. You know the whole shebang. If you've been listening, in medieval Europe, actually, the bats were often associated, they're omens of doom. That's the myth number four. Their bats are omens of doom. In medieval Europe, bats were often associated with witchcraft and supernatural. Many believed that the bats were shape-shifting witches or omens of doom, foreshadowing death and disaster, blah, blah, blah. These four beliefs are fueled by the mysterious nature of bats, their nocturnal habits, and the ability to fly silently through the night. During this period, superstitions led to a widespread persecution of bats, as people feared they were harboring all the harbingers of evil. They often destroyed bat habitats and killed them on sight. Yeah, this misunderstanding not only harmed the bat population, but also contributed to the decline of natural pest control and disrupted local ecosystems. These misconceptions surrounding bats can have dire consequences for the population and habitats. Fear-driven narratives often lead to the destruction of roosting sites and colonies, which are essential for their survival. For example, many bat species rely on caves, old buildings, and trees for shelter. When these habitats are destroyed, when they are destroyed due to fear or misunderstanding, it pushed the bats further towards the brink of extinction. Education plays a crucial role in dispelling these myths. By providing accurate information about bats and their ecological roles, we can foster a greater understanding and appreciation for these creatures. Now, as we talked about all the horrors, let's go into the real horror, I feel like, which is the threats that bats are facing today. They're very more frightening to me. Well, bats have been endured as symbols of mystery and fear for centuries. The dangers they face are far more severe, habitat loss, climate change, and deadly diseases. So, with habitat loss, that's the biggest one. Deforestation, urban expansion, and mining contributes all to the loss of roosting sites that bats depend on for shelter and breeding. As forests are cleared and caves are disturbed, bat colonies are left with no safe place to live, which impacts their population. This destruction not only threatens individual species, but also disrupts entire ecosystems that rely on bats for pollination, seed dispersal, and pest control. Organizations like BCI, which is Bat Conservation International, are stepping in to address this issue by working with governments, private landowners, and local communities to protect bat habitats. They have programs to help protect roosting sites in critical areas such as Bracken Cave in Texas, home to millions of Mexican free-tailed bats. Though initiatives like this exist, conservationists are not only preserving natural habitats, but also educating people about the ecological importance of bats. Then there's the disease white nose syndrome, which is one of the most significant threats in North America, and it's very eerie as it sounds. It's caused by a fungus. There's a long name to it. I'm not saying it. it disrupts bats' hibernation cycles, depleting their fat reserves, causing them to wake up prematurely, which often results in starvation and death. This was discovered in 2006, apparently, and it was spread across United States and Canada here, killing millions of bats. But in recent years, there's been hope. Scientists are studying this deadly disease, and they're researching and testing various methods like to slow it down, slow down the spread, trying antifungal treatments, environmental modifications, and biological agents. And for example, there's been an advancement apparently that the use of UV light, which is shown like promised in killing the fungus without harming the bats actually. So if like by applying these treatments, they're like hoping that they reduce it. Then there's often resistance like towards like the species, like they bats can actually adapt to the fungus, so they like resist the fungus, and they like for example a little brown bat has like actually done that. And then we have our old friend climate change. It poses a unique threat to, like, as well we all know it poses a threat. It shifts the temperature and these weather patterns are important because it can affect the bats' migration routes, hibernation periods, and availability of their prey. For instance, an insect emerge earlier in warmer climates, bats that rely on the food source during specific timings of the year may face shortage, leading to declines in their population. And like there's so much to do, like all these things. There have been conservation efforts. I've told you this. It's the beyond the North America. There's so many places. There's like Philippines, was like they have been working to protect the critically endangered golden crown flying fox, one of the largest bats in the world, may I add, through habitat preservation, reforestation efforts, and community engagement. Madagascar again. They're working to preserve the Malagasy flying fox. This species plays a crucial role in pollinating baobab trees, which are a kind of symbol of Madagascar and are central to the ecosystem. By protecting the flying foxes, conservation are also helping rich biodiversity in Madagascar. Now that I went for what they have done, I want to say what you can do. What can you do as like someone who could save bats? One, you can do support bat conservation organizations. Local groups depend on the donation and volunteer efforts, so you can, by supporting these, you can help fund research, habitat preservation, and all that. Another thing you can do, I always say, and ever since these three episodes I started, educate others. Educate your friends, family. Educate the public about what's going on, what's the myths about the bats, what the misconceptions, educate them. And also you can create, another one is you can create bat-friendly space in the backyard. You can install bat boxes. That's actually a thing, bat boxes. They're kind of like bird houses, but they're made for bats. And make sure you also preserve like natural areas that the bats can find shelter and food. The bat boxes are, there's so much into it. I say you reach there down on your own, and like you can build it on your own even. And another one is reduce pesticide use. Insect eating bats rely on insects for food, and pesticides can reduce those. So I would say by choosing natural alternatives instead of pesticides, you can help protect the bats. So while Halloween it may think of us like as all spooky and stuff, each effort, whenever like a scientific breakthrough, you can support us support bats try to address it. With each effort, a scientific breakthrough or a simple bat pass, it helps secure a better future for these animals. Like the smallest thing you can do. Now, before I end this podcast, I always end with a couple of fun facts about the animals. So I'm gonna give you some fun facts about animals. I think you guys know this, that they're the only mammals capable of sustaining flight. Unlike other mammals, like flying squirrels and sugar gliders that glide short distance, bats are the only one capable of true flight. They achieve this through flexible wings made up of thin membranes stretched over their finger bones, allowing them to maneuver with incredible precision. They also can live up to 40 years old, which is remarkable. For a creature that weighs only a few grams, they can live up to 40 years old. Like the tiny branded bat, for instance, can live up to 40 years old. 40 years, my God. And then there's the fastest bat. One of the fastest animals is actually a bat, the Brazilian free-tailed bat. It's they can reach speeds over 99 miles per hour. 99 miles per hour. So, like, makes it one of the fastest animals. Another one is their excellent pest controllers. I've said this in the podcast. They're pest controllers. Another one is, like, bats are actually meticulous groomers. They often spend, like, their large portions of their day grooming themselves, just like cats. By grooming regularly, bats keep the wings in top condition. Fruit bats actually also have a great sense of smell and sight. While most people think they're blind, this is only a myth. Fruit bats, in particular, they have a keen sense of smell. And also, another one is bats can be actually found everywhere. Like, anywhere. Live nearly anywhere except the Antarctic. Bats also hibernate, too. And also, I told you, vampire bats are real, too. That's another one I have. Well, I guess it's almost done, guys. It's almost done. I can't believe it. We're almost done. Oh, my God. It's the end. The final music. As we wrap up this special, this is take a moment to step outside, look up in the sky, and see if you're lucky to catch a bat flying through the night air on the hunt for insects, spreading the seeds in the future forest. They may seem like silent spectators in the darkness, but they are the guardians of our world. So, I know I'm recording this on the week of Halloween, but I don't think this is going to release on Halloween. But yeah, so let's celebrate bats for what they truly are, mysterious, misunderstood, and magnificent vital creatures, and remember their service in our hands. Their survival is on our hands. Thank you for tuning in to Faded Tales. Until next time, keep listening, keep learning, and keep protecting the world of the natural world, wonders of the natural world, before they fade away. Thank you.